How many love God's word? Praise God. Last week was an intense message. And a lot of things have happened since last week. As you know, there have been some articles placed in our local newspaper. That have called all Christian families in our community child abusers. And I find that very disheartening, because there's hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands, in our valley that claim to be Christian and are raising their children to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's a shame that the Advance would allow a letter to be placed in its newspaper claiming that all Christian families are child abusers. We went to visit that lady who made this claim. We rang the doorbell, and she answered. And you know what? She was very cordial, I have to say. She invited us into her living room, and Gina and I sat down and we had a little chat with her. She didn't have a lot of time because she had another appointment, which I understand. But she took about 10 or 15 minutes to explain to us her position. And she believes that teaching children that they need a Savior, that they need the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse their sin away. Because how many know the Bible teaches that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity? How many know that's true? And she believes that that's child abuse, to teach that to children. That's child abuse. So, you know, we shook hands and we left. On Thursday, we met with the publisher and the editor of the Preston Advance to share with them in a very loving way, I want to tell you, in a very loving way, our displeasure with this article. And the publisher said to me, well, my boss, I don't know who that is, his boss, said no more letters on that subject. No more letters on that subject. Which, yeah, I guess that's a good thing, no more letters on that subject. But what we said to him was, you know, you've offered an apology to those who protested the biblical letter. We want an apology for what this woman has said concerning the Christian community. And you know what? He didn't want to do it. I said, you know what? I said, you're being biased. You're offering an apology, which he did here in the Preston Advance. He said, we regret the unintentional offense caused by the letter that was written. And really, when you look at it, it's just a lot of scriptures. Yeah. With a few words. A lot of scriptures in a few words. And the publisher offers an apology to those that were offended by that biblical discourse. So I said, in a very nice way, let me tell you, in a very nice way, I said, well, then we as Christians want an apology for what has been written concerning the fact that this woman has said that Christian families are child abusers. He didn't want to do it. But I told him, I said, if an apology is not forthcoming, we are going to go to every business connected with the Advance and tell them that this newspaper is biased against Christians. He said, I'm going to call my boss. The Baptist pastor, after I let him know what happened, said, I'm going to call them and complain. So Pastor Rick called the paper and complained. Now, friends, let me tell you something this morning that I think we have sat back for too long. And we let the devil trample all over the message of the gospel, and we have said nothing. And I think it's time, in a loving way, I'm not talking about hate or violence or anything of that nature, but I think in a loving way, we need to stand for the truth of God's Word. Amen. I told the publisher, I said, I love you, I respect you. I said, I don't want to be your enemy. But I said, you have to be fair.
Yes, right.
You have to be fair. And friends, if we let these things go by, there's going to be more stuff that's going to rise up. We can't change everything that's happening in Canada, but we can take a stand in Creston. We can take a stand in this valley for the truth of God's Word. Father, I thank you this morning for the work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for the Creston Baptist Church this morning. I pray for Pastor Rick and his wife and his associate pastor. Lord, I pray for the congregation that literally is in walking distance of this church who have teamed up with us, Lord, to stand for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would strengthen that congregation this morning, that you would strengthen our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. And God, I pray that the work of Satan would be defeated in this town at this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout amen in this house? I want to share some scriptures this morning. First of all, I want to talk about passivity. Passivity. The definition of passivity is the acceptance of what happens without active response or resistance. Someone comes into your house with a baseball bat. You beat up your children and your wife, and you just stand idly by and let it happen. Would you do that? Or would you defend your wife and family? How many here would defend their wife and family? Come on. Okay, you don't like your wife, so you let it happen. I think all of us would defend our family. Passivity is a spirit, and it has encroached on the church. But I'm going to prove to you this morning from the scriptures that there are times and seasons to speak out. to speak up for the truth. There are times and seasons. Yes, I know that people say things about us, and there are times where we just have to let it go and let God defend us. But then there are times and seasons where God wants to use the church as a mouthpiece to speak forth His word. And I think we've been passive concerning a lot of things for too long. Because maybe we're scared. Or maybe we're afraid. Look at Matthew chapter 14, and let me just give you a defense of what I'm talking about. Chapter 14, verse number 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist." How many know who John the Baptist is? Yeah, we all know who John the Baptist is. It looks like he has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Why? Because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her. It is not lawful for you to take the wife of another man and make that woman your wife." Hello? Hello? And you know what? The Bible says that he put him in prison and wanted to put him to death. But he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. So John saw something wrong. Not in the church now. This is outside the church. And even though the threat of prison was over him, he spoke out about the sin that he saw. And you know what? Eventually, if you read on, his head was cut off. They cut off his head. He died a cruel death because he would not remain silent. Hello? Now, we have to pray. And we have to live the life. But we also have to speak up. We have to be willing to stand in the gap and to declare when we know something is being done that is wrong. Are you hearing me? People spoke up about slavery. Martin Luther spoke up and said it's not right how these people are being treated. What if he had not stood up for the truth? We have our freedom today in this country because some people said no to Hitler.
Young men lost their lives on the battlefields of Europe because our nation stood up against the Nazi regime.
What if everyone had to say, oh, what? Let him take as many countries as he wants. Who cares? We might be in a fascist state today. Women being able to vote. Someone protested. A lot of the rights that we have today is because somebody stood up and said it's wrong. The way some people are being treated is wrong. And it's time to speak up for God's word. Look what it says here in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Now we have a wrong concept of Jesus. The wrong concept we have is this. Here's a little flower bed. Here's another little flower bed. And here's another little flower bed. And I'm Jesus. And I'm just walking through the flowers. I love you. 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 That's a wrong concept of Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery, yes, you are forgiven, but go and sin no more. This instance gives us an understanding of who God is. The Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And he knelt down and he prayed for them. And then he went on his way. That's not what it says. Read it. And making a whip of cords. I wonder what the disciples thought. What is this guy going to do? In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there, and making a whip of cords, he drove all out of the temple. Well, that sounds like a pretty violent act. Taking a whip and driving them out. With the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and he overturned their tables. I'm not suggesting anybody do that, by the way. But I'm just saying this is what Jesus did. Because those people were not supposed to be there. It was supposed to be a place where the Gentiles could meet with God. And Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Hallelujah. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away
And do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me.
You know what? The Bible reports that he did it not just once, but he did it twice. Are you hearing me? Jesus.
Driving people out of the temple with a whip, overturning the tables.
You know the condition of our country today is because of the church. Because we have seen so many things happen and we have done and said nothing.
If all the Christians where I lived a few years ago in the city of Toronto would have rose up and said no. But everybody just sits back and lets it all happen.
Friends, there is a time and there is a place.
Yes, I know we're going into the end times, but we are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake because people are going to hate the stand that we take.
I'm still wondering, what did the disciples think about Jesus?
Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16.
Verse 35.
But when it was day, here we have the story. We're interjected in the middle of the story where Paul and Silas were put in prison. They were whipped and beaten and put in a Philippian jail. And the Bible says, at midnight they prayed and they sang hymns to God. And the Bible says God shook the prison. And all the criminals, their prison doors were broken down.
And the jailer came running and said, as he was about to kill himself, Paul said, do yourself no harm. No one has escaped. And the Bible says, that jailer found Christ with his entire family. And then we come to verse 35.
But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace.
Blessings. Ooh, blessings. You've just had your back ripped apart.
Blessings! You may go now.
Most of the church today would say, wow, and they'd run for their lives. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly?
No! Let them come themselves and take us out. In other words, Paul was calling for some accountability. For what was done against them, he was saying, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's not right. Wait a minute. We're not going to leave that easy.
The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid. And when they heard that they were Roman citizens, they came and apologized to them.
How many know sometimes there needs to be an apology? Hello, someone.
That's all we're asking for, is an apology. Because things weren't done right. Are you hearing me this morning?
That's all Paul was saying. Hey, you can't just do that and get away with it. You just can't do your own thing and get away with it. Exalted above another group. That's my question this morning. Why are we so much in favor of one group above another group? Shouldn't we all be equal?
I said, actually Gina said, to the publisher, if that woman had said homosexuals were child abusers, would you have printed it?
If they had said the indigenous community are child abusers, would you have printed it?
I hope he wouldn't have. Because it's not true.
Then why can he get away with saying we're child abusers and we have no say in it?
The Bible says they came and apologized to them. You see, what difference does it make anyway? Who cares? I mean, you know, what does it matter?
It shows, if we do nothing, that we're weak. That we don't believe what we preach. That we have no standards, no boldness, no courage.
I'm not talking about hate. I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about disrespect. I'm talking about any of those things. The Bible says, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city, but not before an apology was given. One more. Acts chapter 25. Paul again up to his speaking out. Speaking out. You know, when you speak out, God empowers you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
When you speak out, God pours into you of His Holy Spirit, just like He poured into the prophets of old, just like He poured into John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. God pours into a vessel that will stand for the truth in this hour.
Was put in prison. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 25, Paul argued his defense. What? Hello?
Why did he have to defend himself? Why did he let just God do argue with? Why didn't he just sit back and say, I don't care how long I'm in prison, I'm just going to let it flow?
That's what the church does today.
Say anything.
You know what's going on there in your work is wrong.
Don't say anything.
You know what's going on over there is wrong.
Don't say anything. Let God take care of it. Just go pray in a cave.
Yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to live the life. We also need to speak out in love.
Paul argued in his defense.
Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor. You know, there's a lot of favors going out. And it's not for the Christian church.
Let me tell you something.
There's coming a time soon where the Bible will be considered hate speech. I'm telling you, it's not very far away. It's going to be considered hate speech.
Because really, the gentleman with the Christian article basically just quoted the scriptures. I said to the publisher, I said, where did he mention homosexuality? He said he didn't, he just inferred it. I said, did you read Leviticus 15? I said it in a very nice way, by the way. Did you read Leviticus 15? I said, it's not just talking about homosexuality, it's talking about incest, it's talking about all kinds of sins. In fact, the author of the letter says sexual immorality, that's adultery, that's a lot of things.
Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to these charges against me, no one can give them up to them. I appeal to Caesar.
Wow.
He's a feisty little guy, isn't he?
He's a feisty guy.
And he was small, by the way, Apostle Paul. A small guy.
Feisty.
But he stood up for his rights. And friends, we live, and I want to just say this so clearly, in somewhat of a democracy. Somewhat, because that's changing.
But we still have a voice.
Are you hearing me? I talked to one of the pastors this week from One Accord, a group of hundreds of pastors across Vancouver and Seattle. We saw one of his videos on Wednesday night. He said, we still have a voice. It's a small window of opportunity, and it's time we take it.
Because what we're allowing into our town is destroying our children.
Someone was telling me that they saw a little girl in Dairy Queen. You know Dairy Queen, right? They make you good ice cream. She went to use the washroom. And this believer was watching her. And she went up to the two doors. One said men and women, and the other said men and women. And she sat there and she wondered, I'm sure in her mind, which bathroom do I take? It used to be men and women. Hello? It used to be men and women. If you're a woman, you go to the woman's washroom. If you're a man, you go to the man's washroom. Hello, somebody. Is anyone here this morning? Isn't that the way it used to be?
Yes. Yeah.
Now it's men, women. Men, women. In some schools, they let everybody use the same washroom. Because they're afraid of offending someone. And we have said nothing. Friends, let me tell you, I don't disrespect anybody. If they choose to change their gender, that's their choice. But don't get my kid so confused that they don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. Are you hearing me this morning? I think it's something to get angry about. I think it's something that causes to be stirred up about. Let me close this message. Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, to Caesar you have appealed. To Caesar you shall go. Paul got his way because he stood up for himself. And I think it's time for us to stand up for ourselves. Let me tell you something this morning. You're the majority. The media makes you think you're the minority. CBC wants you to think you're the minority. Global News wants you to think you're the minority. But you're not. We are the silent majority. But we don't say anything. And so we keep losing. I know the final battle is in God's control. And let me close. In my heart, I'm thinking about the kids, the children, the little ones. They don't have a voice. We have to stand up for them. In the name of Jesus. In a loving way. Not talking about hate. Disrespect. Someone makes a choice. And that's the way they want to go in their life. We should respect that. That's fine. And don't bring it into the school system to the point where our kids are getting confused and they don't know right from wrong. I share these scriptures today to tell you that there is a time where God wants us to speak up. And I say to you, this is the hour. If they hate us, if they despise us and spit in your face, show them the love of Jesus. And tell them what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm going to pray this morning that God's going to strengthen you. In the name of Jesus. Did you know there's only two churches in Crestwood that are willing to stand up Grace Christian Fellowship, and Creston Baptist Church. That's it so far. And we're going to stand together. Over 300 believers in both churches. And others from these other churches that are saying, you know what, we're standing with you too. Are you hearing me? We're hearing from believers in the States, across the border, that are willing to stand with us on this issue and every issue that comes. Come on, somebody. Can I just say one more thing? I was listening to a man running for Senate. I think it was in Louisiana. And he said, we've been so enthralled for some reason with homosexuality. We're just enthralled with the media, TV, commercials. And I'm quoting him. He said, it's destroying America. When you mess with God's plan, you open the door to the devil. Are you hearing me? You mess with the way God created everything, you open the door to the devil. Are you hearing me? It's time to shut the door on the devil. Come on, somebody. It's time to shut the door on the devil. Father, I pray this morning